Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But we begin on a completely unrelated note. It is becoming everyone's favorite time, political ad season. You're going to hear them all over KMBZ, all right? On our station, on every radio station, you're going to hear political ads. You're going to see political ads on TV and also when you are on social media. Ad nauseum. Here's the thing. You might hate them, but every media outlet makes money by putting on political ads because you see how these people like, oh, the Democrats or the Republicans raised $3 million, $100 million, whatever. Joining us right now from Graves Garrett LLC, attorney Edward Grime is with us because we wanted you in to talk about what everybody really doesn't enjoy, and that's all the political ads. I think you know it, but this is kind of an interesting time for you guys because you deal with a lot of these issues that are coming up during the wonderful time of the year.
That's right. Yeah, it's right around the corner, and you know, we're seeing ads already. The campaigns are up and going at the presidential level. There's impeachment, and you know, momentarily displaced by the potential injury for our quarterback, but otherwise it'll be right back in our face in a few more days. So
somebody's going to buy a political ad on Mahomes' knee.
Yeah,
that's right.
It'll be out there. We hope
right.
It's truthful.
Right, exactly.
So it's particularly of interest because Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg this week defended their policy. There was a big story in the Washington Post of allowing political campaigns to run ads that contain false information or misleading information. And we talk on this show quite a bit about false advertising and whether that's legal, because there are lawsuits filed all the time over ads that are misleading. How is Facebook different?
Well, there's, you know, the important point is we've got state action and then we've got private action. And within private action, we've got all the broadcast folks and then we've got social media. Completely different legal regime. So, you know, if somebody comes on and says something defamatory or somebody posts something defamatory, they can be sued. The question, though, is what about the person that published it, that allowed that person to come on? That's a different question. And right now, social media publishers, they themselves cannot be sued. At the same time, they have been regulators of political speech. And what Zuckerberg has really done, even though he's come under great fire from the Democrats, is he said, you know what, we have become sort of a public forum. He didn't use those words. That's what he meant. And he's saying, we are not going to start policing speech here because, you know, one person's speaking truth to power is another person's libelous falsehood.
Let's talk about the difference, though, between Facebook, which people are using it, and there's been a lot of discussion of Facebook about news stories that they put up and whether they allow news stories to be accurate or not and what they allow to be filtered through. I don't even know the right question here, but the difference between Facebook and traditional media when it comes to the responsibility to make sure the ads are not just saying whatever they want.
Right. Well, as a normative matter, you could argue that there's no difference, but the law does see it differently. And, you know, over the summer, we were talking about different statutes being proposed to go in and kind of redo the deal on the internet. At the same time, people say that the law we enacted back in 1998 basically gave birth to the internet because it took away this threat of liability for publishers. And as a result, we have a raucous, robust, freewheeling marketplace of ideas, which is closer to sort of the original concept of the First Amendment that our founders probably wanted.
In your estimation, if you are the head of Facebook, let's say you're Mark Zuckerberg and you're living the sweet life, how much of it is on you? If I have $100 million and I want to buy $100 million worth of ad time, how much of that is on you to make sure what I'm the space I'm paying for is always truthful and accurate?
Well, Mark Zuckerberg will say none of it is. Now, there's
how do you feel about that?
Well, I agree with that because here's the thing. Let's say you put $100 million out there and you say something outrageous. You know, our Secretary of State is a Chinese agent, a Russian agent. Well, guess what? You know, that will then be written about, and people will come forward and say there was no evidence for that. You know, and by the way, who paid that $100 million? What's their background? And you'll end up having a debate about it. The alternative is censorship, and in this case, censorship by private parties who can't be held accountable. And so that's been the big knock. That was a big knock on Facebook and other entities before, is that they had a very left-leaning bias. And they were letting that be the thing that, you know, they were basically drowning out conservative voices. So if they step back and they make it a free and fair marketplace, that's what we should all want.
Was there, in your estimation, bias?
Yes, for sure. I mean, now finding a cause of action to sue somebody is a whole different thing because, again, they're not the government. So the First Amendment doesn't cover them. However, I mean, there's been much said about algorithms that Google uses, about the, you know, people in the background who are trying to enforce these decency policies. Every time somebody talks about decency and civility and truth, beware.
What?
Yeah.
That should make me excited if they talk about right. decency, civility, and truth. And you're saying it's probably a falsehood.
Well, I mean, it
should raise a red flag.
Right. The problem is, I mean, you know, what objective standard do you use? And so the Biden campaign, you know, contacted Facebook and said, hey, these ads, you know, that Trump is running have been debunked. Well, I mean, have they? Has it been debunked that there right. was nothing wrong with Hunter Biden? I don't know.
I really want to, we got to take a quick break, but I want to talk more about that. Like, let's say that you know, Biden sees an ad, says this ad is garbage. How much effort do they put into getting that ad pulled down? Is there a group of people that is in charge of getting to Facebook and Zuckerberg's people to say this ad and this ad and this ad are wrong about this and this and this? And on the flip side, the same thing can be said. Trump's people say this ad that Biden is putting out or Elizabeth Warren is putting out, this is false, this is false, this is false. We'll talk about that effort. If you have questions for Attorney Edward Grime of Graves Garrett LLC, text in 22980. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. More on your favorite topic, political ads. They're coming, and we're trying to dissect them. Truth from false. Next, you're on KMBZ. We are joined in studio by Attorney Edward Grime of Graves Garrett LLC, talking about social media and political ads. And before the break, we were talking about whose job it is if, let's say, just for example, calm down, text line. Let's say that there is an ad from the Trump campaign, and it slams Biden, and it's got some lies in it. How big of a deal is it when Biden says, hey, this ad is wrong, this ad is wrong, this line from this ad is wrong? Is there a big push to get that ad pulled? Or in 2019, do we just hope that that'll go away until the next round of ads?
Right. Well, the answer depends in part on where the ad appeared. So if it's on TV and it's Trump's ad, the station cannot take it down. Cannot take
everyone
it down.
Hear that?
Right.
Everyone got that.
However,
whoa.
Think about this, though. In Missouri, too, what if we have a super PAC? What if we have a super PAC running the ad? It's not Trump's ad. It's a pro-Trump ad, or it's an anti-Biden ad. At that point, that's when the lawyers kick in. And that's when the lawyer gets hired and by the super PAC to come in and challenge it, or actually by the campaign to challenge it. And then the station will go to the super PAC and say, let me see your file for that. Where's your research file that shows that Hunter Biden did this or whatever?
Is that ad that we always hear, I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message? That's the right. one directly from the campaign, whereas right. an ad slamming Elizabeth Warren may just become Right Wingers for America or something along those lines.
No, never.
Right.
But that's where the lawyers get involved, and that's where you will see a letter from counsel. And anybody who does this kind of law is really, really busy those last couple of months. You're sending out blasts of letters to all the stations that run an ad. And you know what? All the stations don't handle it the same way. Some require a little more from the research file. Others require less.
Huh.
What do you think of that being the way that it is? Should there, because I'm putting myself in the position of your average listener or your average viewer who expects what they see in advertising to be true, because otherwise, why would you let it go on the air?
I guess what I would say is this. This is all political speech. It enjoys the highest level of protection under the First Amendment. And what I would like to see is less regulation, less policing for content. You know, we can have private defamation claims, but the standard is high for a public figure. And that's probably the right regime. We should let the marketplace of ideas fight it out rather than leaving it to one or two people to decide what's true and what's not.
So do you mean, and we say this a lot, when people complain sometimes about what they see in media, not just in advertising, the first thing our response often is, well, it's up to you. You know, sometimes it is up to you to discern what you're going to consume and what you're not. Is that what you're talking about then?
Yeah.
Letting the audience figure that out for themselves?
Think back to colonial America before we had all this media. You know, people mainly lived in their small towns or they go to their county courthouse. And guess what? There'd be gossip and talking about, you know, Patrick Henry had an affair or, you know, whatever the thing is. So-and-so is really a British agent. You can either tune into it and listen to it or not. And that's always been how it's been in this country. And it's the same thing today. Just, you know, participate if you want to. Find out who the source is. We've got disclaimer laws, disclosure. But let the marketplace of ideas fight it out.
I almost feel like the uninformed, the lazy, the unintelligent, or the easily swayed are overwhelmed by that. Are overwhelmed by and don't know that what they are looking at could be a falsehood.
Or know how to figure out whether it
right.
is. I think that, shoot, it's hard sometimes for those of us that do this for a living mm-hmm. to have the resources to find that information out about whether it's true.
But I guess I would say if there's a problem with that, then there's a problem with democracy, right? Because what are we going to say? Are we going to say we're going to let everybody vote, but we're going to strictly monitor the information that you have to vote with?
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, what we say is we're going to have mandatory education. You're going to learn how to process facts, learn how to argue, learn about what a democracy is, learn about civics, and do the best you can. And you know what? Maybe 50% of the people, 80, 90% of the people don't do a good job. That's always been the case, though. And people are probably better informed today than they ever have been.
Ooh, I don't know if I would agree with that, but...
what makes you say that? Can I ask what makes you say that?
Just the sheer availability of viewpoints that you can access. I mean, before, and I keep running the contrast today with before mass media, people were, you know, they had the information that would come to them through a speaker who might show up in their town. Eventually, you know, you'd have whistle stop tours. You know, you had lots of newspapers, but they were all partisan, you know, explicitly. And so now people have access to a lot more information. The other problem, of course, is that government is a lot more powerful today than it ever was before. So much more is riding on these elections than they did when government was, you know, had more limited powers.
Do you think that when we get, you know, after the first of the year, when it's really going to start to get ramped up, especially as we get into the primary season, over on social media, which is becoming more traditional, but it's not traditional media, will we see more and more? Like I was telling you during the break, I watched The Great Hack. It's a great documentary on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about Cambridge Analytica and the fact that the Trump campaign outspent Hillary's campaign like 6-1 via social media. Do you think that we are about to be even more, especially after Zuckerberg's comments, more overwhelmed than ever with fake news and real news kind of all mixed together on Facebook and Twitter?
I would say, I don't know if I'd say overwhelmed, but it's going to be there. I mean, what did Zuckerberg call social media? He called it the fifth estate. That is a significant comment. I mean, the fourth estate was the media always. Now he says social media is the fifth estate. He's claiming a very high status for social media. And guess what? Over time, in the marketplace of ideas, I have confidence that people will begin to learn who's reliable and who's not. And more information is a good thing.
You are very sunshine and rainbows with that, I tell you right now.
But to me, the difference with social media, I'm gonna put Reddit maybe as a good example, is that it's, yes, everything is user-generated content, but the difference to me with Facebook and maybe a Reddit or a Twitter is that anybody can put anything up, and you don't know what their credentials are, and you don't know whether they fact-checked it or anything. And the difference to me is that if it comes from a media source, like KMBZ, that has a very long reputation of getting things right, versus anybody, you know, now we've got blogs and we've got just, I don't even know the right word for it, but just anybody can start
a
news site.
Big Patriot 102 on Reddit.
Right.
He could just come up with a thing that he saw or heard.
Yeah.
And that becomes news.
And no one's going to question him mm-hmm. on it.
Well, I mean, the idea of Reddit is that people then do start talking about it and people say, who is this crazy guy? Look, you know, the source documents relied upon are no good. This is a fake. You know, he photoshopped this or that or whatever it is. I mean, the mainstream media has trafficked in some major whoppers as well. And we're seeing journalistic standards, I think, falling, especially at a lot of the newspapers. So I say that because I'm here at a radio show.
Good call.
But seriously, I mean, I think, you know, I don't think anybody can claim to be completely clean, that they are the ultimate arbiters of what's true and what's not. And once we have that, that is sort of the beginning of the end for democracy. I really think that.
Yeah, part of the problem that we see is people not understanding the difference between what is supposed to be straight news and fact and what is opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's on the audience, is that you have to, that's where it really is your responsibility to know that difference. As people that sit and do opinion all the time,
yep,
and are accused of having an opinion, I think sometimes people don't realize that there is a difference between what you're about to hear from Sam Stevie in the newsroom and from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I might get a t-shirt that says, I am biased. Right. And it's the truth.
And I am paid for it.
Right, yeah. Want my opinion? Give me a paycheck. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. Meanwhile, we have a newsroom, and for the most part, they're very right down the middle with facts.
Right.
And that's the thing that some people, like Jamie said, can't separate. Like, you can't separate. I know he left, but Shep Smith was a reporter, was a newsman. Sean Hannity is an opinion man, just using Fox News as an example.
Yeah, but, I mean, even this so-called straight news people, I mean, watch them go moderate a debate, you know, and then ask yourself.
Depends what network they're on.
Well, really. But see, you know, people are learning, or they've certainly learned by now, which networks kind of lean which way. Mm-hmm. And there is no straight down the line network. I mean, there's not. And so people will eventually learn this. And at the end of the day, I say, whose job is it supposed to be? Who do I trust to monitor what I can and cannot hear? And I don't trust anyone to do that. I mean, that role should not be held by the government. And every possible scheme that you put out there, even if it's private lawsuits, there's going to be a judge making the decision, and it should not be that way.
Hey, Edward, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you coming in. Great discussion. Enjoy the rest of your day. I know you have a parent-teacher conference to get to.
We're going
to
let you get out for that. We will let you.
I mean, it's almost as important as Mahomes' knee, but we thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Attorney Edward Grime of Graves Garrett LLC here in Kansas City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.